You've been lied to, but you don't know how. You've searched. You've struggled. You've cried out. You want the truth, but where is it? You've wandered. You've fought. You've strived, and you have not been satisfied. What is truth? Where is truth? Who is truth? The kingdom of God. Mind control. The last days. Higher dimensions. Unity. The power of faith. Discover the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God has promised that he will hide us under his feathers, and under his wings we will trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVall is the premier program that is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is designed to show you how to become more than you have ever imagined through the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And now, prepare for your host, Dan DeVall.
Folks, you're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVall. This program is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is a production of Bride Ministries, and you can find us at www.bridemovement.com. Folks, I'm excited as usual about a lot of things, but man, this year is just starting off with a bang. And you know what? What we're seeing just in the, you know, stuff that happens behind the scenes, Bride Ministries, and all the people that I am working with is just phenomenal. The Lord has just really stepped things up, and we are seeing the kingdom of God move with force like no one's business. And it's really cool. It's just really cool. And you know what? Today, you're going to be listening to the product of some of that amazing breakthrough that God is delivering, because our guest is going to be Robert Mitchell. And he's an Illuminati defector. And he's been on twice before, once to begin his story by himself. And in another program we did called Montauk Exposed. Well, we'll be doing the second installment of his story today, and we'll be getting with him in just a minute. Before we get there, I do want to say this, folks. We are really serious about everything that we talk about, including the agenda to create the internet-based ministry service. And we're in the process of getting quotes, like literally getting the quotes. How much is it going to cost to build a website that will allow us to have worship experiences live, followed by a message that's delivered possibly from different locations in the U.S. or the world, depending on how we work it out, and then the ability to integrate everybody that's involved into discussion groups following the message to build in an interactive internet-based community based around the Word of God. And We're just really excited. This is going to happen, folks, and it's going to happen one way or another. I believe that God has already provided. I don't care if they tell me it costs $5,000 or $50,000 or $100,000. We're going to build it. Now, where's the money going to come from? That's God's call. maybe one of you. But you know what? One way or another, we're going to get there, because I really, really believe in this vision. And so we're going to keep you updated on all the progression that's going on there, because this is clearly the next step. We're already in. This is the first week of the new phase of discipleship at Bride. What is discipleship at Bride? We are intent on making disciples of Jesus Christ. And bride discipleship is designed to empower you to be more effective in your Christian walk, to have more authority, confidence in Jesus Christ, faith, building all these things, a firm foundation to engage this world from a posture of victory. And the way we do it is in the form of classes, weekly classes. The sessions are 8 weeks long. And the four classes that you can get involved with are Grace in Christ, the Kingdom of God, and Spiritual Warfare. Those are the subjects that we dive into in a very deep way. And man, it is just really having a profound impact on those that have been involved. And so if you're interested in getting involved in discipleship later on, well, we have a waiting list and you can get on it. We're already in the first week, so really, realistically, no more signups for this current round because we're already in it. But you'll be first to know when we go to move into the next round of discipleship in another 2 months or so. This is just an ongoing agenda of Bride Ministries. Why? Because we want to see Christians getting victorious, set free, empowered. In addition to this, my books, Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions in the Spirit Realm, and Kingdom Government and the Promise of Sheep Nations are available. They're at the website. Also, the Kingdom Conference that we did, it was called the Confluence Prophetic Conference. That's the actual name of it. But they invited me to Australia to talk about the Kingdom of God. And so those DVDs of that conference are now available. You can go to www.bridemovement.com, go to our books and products page, and it's there. So folks, there's a lot going on. I mean, we are helping survivors, and you know, the more we are able to raise, and the more coaches we're able to find and, you know, ultimately train, the more people we are going to help. Right now, we're building a community of DID coaches. That's short for dissociative identity disorder. We're trying to help people recover from afflictions like satanic ritual abuse, government-sponsored mind control agendas, cult mind control things. It's just really horrible what we have found out is going on, and we're trying to empower others to find their healing in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, most of our budget is actually, at this point in time, going right to the survivors that we are helping. And I want to just take a moment, as I love to do all the time, and tell my listeners, you're awesome. Guys, you have really been blessing us financially. And we've seen, as we've been pressing into the vision that God has given us in various areas, those that listen to this program, you've been responding. You've been praying for us. You've been giving and sowing financially into us. It's empowering us to get things done, to actually do the things we're talking about. And, you know, there's only more coming. I want to say thank you. You know what? You're just awesome. Awesome. Awesome, folks. Thank you so much for your support. And with that said, I'm not going to go on any longer. There's a lot of other things going on, but right now I want to get to our guests. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
folks, we are now sitting down with my guest, Robert Van Dreist Mitchell, and he has been on my program twice before to talk about some of the most radical things you can imagine. He is a bloodline Illuminati defector that I was introduced to and began working with in 2014. And I actually met him in 2013 towards the end, and we began working together. He is actually one of the people that those of you that support Bride Ministries are helping. And, you know, the information and stories that Robert has are just incredible. And he came on my program the first time in what we called The Depths of the Illuminati. And this program we are calling The Depths of the Illuminati Part 2. The other interview that he did was with another survivor to talk about Project Montauk and Montauk in general, and we just called it Montauk Exposed. And, you know, as we go further into your information, Robert, I just want to say thank you, first of all, for being so brave as to share your story, to come forward knowing everything that you are standing up against. You know, you're just super brave, and I want to applaud you for being on my program.
Thank you, Daniel, for your lovely introduction, as usual. And it's great to be back on the show, and I hope for many more to come in the future. And I will continue to talk about the things that I have witnessed from childhood onwards, and I know that I got the truth on my side, and more important, our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. I know I'm going against formidable people, who are unfortunately ruling the earth in the physical sense, or at least so they think, although not for long any longer in the future. But they got only their power so long we give them the power. And yeah, so long we are terrified of them, they will bully us around as much we allow them. And I will not anymore allow them to bully us around. So I will speak out so long, yes, I'm allowed to. And with God and Jesus Christ on my side, I know nothing will happen to me. I'm that confident in it. So that is, yeah, one of the reasons why I do speak out. And I'm thankful to be on your show again for the first time now. Yes, first time. So I hope it's going to be a great show again, and much more to come in the future as well. But the subjects we're going to talk about today, that certainly will give a full show to think about for people.
Well, there's no doubt that, and I already know somewhat of where we're going, and there's very little doubt that at the end of this, whoever's listening, your jaws will probably be on the floor. But what's new on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall? So, Robert, I want to begin with the subject of the Grimaldis. What can you tell us about that?
The Grimaldis, as you talked with, you talked, I think, the first time with Lauren, if I'm correct, my protector, protective altar. And she had, the day after the first interview, she had a bleed-through memory that she wrote down. And that goes back to my programmer, Dr. Dr. Barrington, who is no other than the French Rothschild, Baron Guy de Rothschild. And when I was around seven, he told me at one point that my family from my father's side are also related to another French aristocratic family called and have Italian family called the Grimaldis. And the Grimaldis, as people should know, is they are no other besides the black nobility family. They are also the House of Monaco. They are the principality, what we call Monaco, in the south of France. And I also remember during my programming with Dr. Barrington, a.k.a. Baron Guy de Rothschild, is that I saw on a number of occasions one of the members of the Grimaldi family, by the name, a woman, or then still a child, called Stephanie Grimaldi, Princess Stephanie of Monaco. I cannot say I got memories of her older sister, Caroline, being around during programming, or have seen on the ground of where we were programmed, but I certainly have memories of, in this case, Stephanie, Princess Stephanie of Monaco. And yeah, by coincidence, from my father's side, who is also in genetic sense related, got in genetic links with the Bauers, but it's already a handful of the Germanic Bauers, but it's a very occultic, deep and dark family going back at least a minimal to the around 1200s. They were very dark and deep in the occult, and out of this family came forth through the centuries three other major powerful families, among them the Rothschild family. Another one is the House of Hanover, out of which also came the House of Windsor, the current Queen of England. She is a Windsor, or they called themselves later the Windsors. They came out of it. And back in the U.S., we've got another powerful family, at least so they think in their own mind, are the Bush family. So in a way, in a genetic sense, you could say I am a distant cousin from all those three families as well. And unfortunately, I dealt with all three of them in my life. The Rothschilds, so all the British and the French Rothschilds. Now, yeah, I dealt, because of the rituals, also with the British Queen, and even more so also with the Queen Mum. I know a lot of people in the UK, especially the more elderly people, seem to think, oh, she was always a nice, friendly old lady, if they only knew the truth, but that's not a matter. And now, yeah, and back in the States, I also dealt, unfortunately, a lot of time with Bush Senior, who is certainly an animal in the literal sense. So yeah, that is part of my pedigree, unfortunate.
Okay.
But so, the Grimaldis were certainly in the mix, and they are also very deeply steeped into the Illuminati as well, up till today, and also been in the scene of the rituals and stuff going on, even that we don't hear much about them. They operate on a lot of the levels of what we call the Committee of 300.
What can you tell us about the Committee of 300?
The Committee of 300 is like the Bilderberg Group, one of those secret groups that operate behind the scene, and they organize and delegate certain functions to members within the Illuminati. In this case, the Committee of 300 also controls the agencies, intelligence agencies, who operate in their names. And when we talk about the 00s, as we all know about 007, in reality, the 00s don't work in reality for our so-called countries, and for the freedoms we so-called stand for, but in reality they operate in name of the Committee of 300, and they eliminate any opposition against the interests of groups like the Committee of 300 and other Illuminati groups. As we already had mentioned in the first interview, or Lauren did on my behalf, is that we have a faction war. And one of the other members of the Rothschilds I dealt with through my entire life, Evelyn Robert de Rothschild, is that he found out in May of 1977, I was then around 13, at that particular time I was at his mansion, and one of his aides came in running and told the bad news that their agents in Russia had overheard that some of the members of the Romanovs had survived, and that they had been building up ever since their empire in secret. And at the moment, you could say we got two main factions within the intelligence community, the ones under the Rothschilds and the Committee of 300, and then the one under the Romanovs, who controls the Russian Federation completely. They control China and all its apparatus and all its military. They control completely North Korea. They now also control a big part of the Iran and its upcoming nuclear power and missiles. And they also work now in alignment with various Muslim factions, including Daesh, or what is also known as ISIS. What people also should know, this faction war between the Romanovs and, in this case, the Rothschilds, is that we also talk about two Jewish factions. We talk about the Ashkenazi Jews that came from Sumeria over between 500 and 700 AD to South Russia, to the country, or what we now know as Georgia in the Caucasus Mountains, and they intermingled with the local people that were also known as Khazarian people or something like that. And the Romanovs, they became the Khazarian Jews, because the Khazarians took over the Jewish identity when the Ashkenazi Jews came over to that area, and the Khazarian people took over their identity. And later, the Ashkenazi Jews went from southern Russia, Georgia, and surrounding in the Caucasus, they went over to the west, Western Europe, and they became later on the European banking houses, and they mingled with and mixed themselves in genetic sense with royalty and all the other factions that were going around in Europe. And one of the most powerful people among the Ashkenazi Jews are, of course, now the Rothschilds. And when we talk about this faction war on this part, we talk about two sides of the same coin of the synagogue of Satan Jews, if that is how you can call it, because none of them is of the Davidian line of the Jews, and they almost had murdered out the Davidian line in the Second World War with Hitler, with the concentration camps and all that, but that's a different story. But the Committee of 300 is a committee what is based around the 300 most powerful families, beside the 13 families that has already been identified by various authors in their books. So beside the Rothschilds, the Romanovs, or not the Romanovs, but beside the West European upper-class families and the North American upper-class families, mm-hmm. the Committee of 300, they got the other 300 families that don't belong to the top 13 Illuminati bloodlines.
And shortly after, you came on my program for the first time,
yes.
as Lauren. And for those of you that don't quite understand that, that was explained in the first program for someone like Robert, who has been programmed with trauma-based mind control. There are the presence of many, many alter personalities. Lauren is one of Robert's protective
yes.
alters. And she did his first interview. Now we are actually talking with Robert. And so, anyway, after we had done that first interview, I had another gentleman on my program, Doug Woodward, and we were talking about his latest book, Will Russia Nuke the U.S.? And I brought up what you had said, and he said, you know, well, I was told there's a faction war. And he said, that makes a lot of sense, because some people, Robert, have in their mind that the Illuminati is just this tight-knit group of world elites that know exactly what they're doing, that are all on the same page, and that just make everything happen in a very strategic and well, like a well-oiled machine. There's no kinks in it, and we're just sitting back with, you know, in a very hopeless position, thinking, well, there's nothing we can do. They have this totally under their control, and really, there's a faction war. It's not as straightforward as certain people might think.
That's right. Because originally, what I was told, and others within Montauk programming, especially within the indoctrination classes, is for the future, they were planning to roll out the New Age of Horrors. And it was planned for the originally for the year 2000. But then at that time they didn't have the information of the Romanovs at that time, because it was then before 1977 that I was told this. But you have to ask yourself, if the Illuminati is only one group of family, one group, and they are so powerful, you and I wouldn't been sitting here talking about this in a certain amount of freedom. Because if they are really that powerful, they would have rolled out for Satan their empire already about 15 years ago, or even further back if they could. The fact that, we're dealing now with two powerful groups, but also keep themselves up till now in balance, because they are, you could say, locked in this struggle. And you could say, one may couldn't try to nuke the other and then it is over. Problem is, then for them, whoever survives, there is no earth rule. Because if you start a nuclear war, for one, then the other will strike back, because that is how the whole system has been set up in the first place. And at the moment, especially the Romanovs, trying also to make inroads in other areas that were under tight control by the Rothschilds. Africa is one of them, because of the minerals and other things. And they're also making big inroads in certain parts of South and Central America as well. Now, the Romanovs, unfortunately, also brought in a Trojan horse president in our country, who was elected as president in 2008. Our current President Obama, because the Rothschilds, especially Evelyn and Lynn, the Forrester Rothschild, who was a close friend of Hillary Clinton, wanted her in. But in the end, it was the Romanovs who brought in their candidate under the noses of the Rothschilds. And part of this reason was to hollow out internally the military might of the U.S., not only in the world to topple its military might, but also from the inside out. One of the examples is what you now see is the whole old military structure about the tough men and all that kind of thing, about the male culture, has been now put upside down, because it's now, especially with the homosexuality, that is for me a completely wrong thing, but that has also now been completely allowed within the military, and that also has brought a lot of problems with it as well. Not to mention, Obama has brought down the whole military, not military structure alone, but also economically things completely down the drain in the U.S., how things are. If we thought, things were worse under Bush Junior, that is what everybody thought. It couldn't get worse. Now, we have now seen after 7 years, things have been much worse than it was ever before. Now, the main reason and the only reason for this is that Obama is paid for and bought by the Romanovs in order to bring America's military might as a world power down, and as such also as the military might for the Rothschilds for future things to come in the future. By the way, there is, I think Lauren saw it online on YouTube. She saw a fragment in a documentary, I think it was one of the documentaries that she saw about Obama. And it was, this reporter went in the 90s to Russia, and he spoke with a certain group of people. They didn't say in that particular documentary that they were the Romanovs, but they did say that in 10 years' time, because this documentary, at least that particular fragment, was from late 90s, they said in 10 years' time, they're going to bring into power in the U.S. a semi-black president. I call it semi because he is not black in the first place. His male wife, Michael or Michelle, whatever you want to call it, of transgender, is more black than Obama is in the first place. But especially when you look to Obama, he got more the structure how an Asian looked like, especially when you compare Obama with someone from a country as Indonesia, for one. But they said in the interview to the reporter that in 10 years' time they will bring in their men, and this group that we talk about, they were associated with the Romanovs.
Wow.
And so it's worth trying to find that documentary. I think Lauren saw this in one of the documentaries about how Obama came in power as the new hope for the U.S. I think that this fragment in the whole documentary is only about 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
But it's worth for people to look it up. I cannot say exactly what documentary Lauren looked at, but it's at least online in one of the documentaries about Obama that it was mentioned, and so it is worthwhile for people to take a look into the, themselves, and I think then they will find out with all the things that have been happening in our beautiful country, the U.S., and how things went down the drain will make much more sense now than ever before. But to come back on our story, if the Illuminati was only one group with only a few families, then you and I would have been talking in the freedom or relative freedom that we're still doing up till today.
And that's a great point.
Yes.
That is, I mean, it's almost self-explanatory.
And also, connected with Russia, of course, I do believe, yeah, that the Illuminati will play out the things that has been written in the Book of Revelations. They did say in the Montauk lessons that we got, yeah, that they used the Bible as a guidebook.
Right.
So that means in this case the Book of Revelations, I would guess, because that is played out how the Antichrist come to the front, and also when Israel made a false peace for 3.5 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, and so this is really just quite profound information, and I want to bridge now, because with the whole Illuminati agenda, what a lot of people are really realizing at this point is that it's not just a geopolitical move to bring in a geopolitical system. It is a spiritual, trans-dimensional move. And a lot of people's research is leading them, including mine and all the information that I'm getting from all over the place, including yourself, to conclude that it's not just human agents. I mean, there are human agents working with various types of powers, beings, and entities. We call them fallen angels, demons, hybrids, and everything in between. What do you know? And I know that we'll be expanding on whatever you say here over time, but what can you introduce us to from your experiences? on the subject of the alien abduction agenda, what people are calling that, and I guess also the whole hybridization program. And of course, let me just introduce it this way. Folks, the Bible is clear in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The defining characteristic, or one of them, of the days of Noah was an ongoing hybridization agenda. This was related to the Nephilim. This is what we're exploring. Robert, what can you tell us?
Okay, that's on itself already a subject you can fill a whole program with. Connected with what we call aliens, to me they are Nephilim hybrids. That is the first point I want to make. I know we call them in modern day terminology aliens, and unfortunately I dealt with them myself from my first year onwards, and also before my mother died. God has a soul. She died now 13 years ago, but 2 years before she came clean about certain things. She told me that she was never allowed to tell anyone, as the family told, if she would tell certain things, they would put her away in an asylum for life and punish her daily in there. And one of the things she told me was that when I mentioned that I saw like what is known as little gray men, she also mentioned to me then that she also saw them when she was young. So we, in her case, we talk about then in the 1940s and onwards. And what, when we talk about the Nephilim hybrids, people seem to think when we talk about Nephilim, we talk about 20 plus feet high giants. That was, people, when you're listening to this, that is the old Nephilim that we talk about in the biblical sense. But over the last 3,000-4,000 years, also they have developing further. Instead of getting bigger, they have now been shrinking themselves so that they also can be absorbed and less detected in the human population. And when we take a look at the whole alien abduction, it's a hybridization program in order to mix their genes again, as it said in the old times of the Bible, when the fallen angel were mixing their genes with the woman in biblical times. They're doing it now again all over, but in a different package. And now they look like gray aliens or praying mantis type or reptilians or even Nordics. And on that part, people always seem to think, oh yeah, those nice looking Nordics, and they come here as our friends and in peace. But what people have to realize when we talk about the whole spectrum of aliens, in the end, all of them, they work for the same employer or boss, who we all know as Satan. And no matter if they are looking as a Nordic Pleiadian with blonde hair or red hair or brown hair, doesn't matter. Or and the reptilians, of course, they bring it now as if the Nordics are the good guys and the reptilians and the greys are the bad guys. The scenario of the good cop and the bad cop, what they are playing out. That is how they kind of look to appear. And also, this is all part of what they will call in the future, or what we call the great deception that is coming. And they will also kind of say in the future, when they kind of land and make contact with the UN and other institutions and countries, they will say then to humans that they were the ones who created us, and that they are our parents and what more, and that they come back to help us to overcome all the problems, etc. What is just a blatant lie, because they are the agents of darkness from the satanic forces of Satan. And the whole hybridization program, again, is in order to mix their genes to pollute the human genes with their own and to create hybrids that can be demonized, that can, in which they can put a disembodied or disincarnated spirit, or what we call a demon, can put it in there, and that they can create from the inside out again more havoc. Also, part of this is also to corrupt the human genome again, so that God also will go against us, because as in biblical times, we are also allowing us to get our genes being polluted, in this case by aliens, who of course from the start has been telling us a lie, yeah, that they are here for the good and they are here to help. Well, that is just a blatant lie and nothing more or less. And concerning my own life, I had hundreds, if not thousands, of abductions through my complete childhood and adult life. And most of those abductions, I was brought to various bases, so on this earth, under the earth, and also on the moon. And in those bases, it was not only the gray aliens or reptilians that I also have seen, but also other beings. But in my opinion, when we look to the grays in particular, they are robotic. And they also possess, like what you see with certain insects, and hive mind. But they certainly don't have a soul matrix, or certainly not a soul as how God created us humans. So I will say to people, when you deal with this subject, and especially in the future, when the government kind of come up with telling us they made contact with beings from the Theta Reticuli or Wolf, some other planet with a certain number, or the Pleiades, don't trust the source or the government in this, because we're talking about demons in a new package. It's now, nothing more or less.
Let me ask you this, because you brought up specifically grays, reptilians, yes. Nordics, and praying mantis type. I'm just going to ask you just to simply do this, because you've had hundreds of encounters and experiences, and I think that's probably lowballing it. Can you give us one account, one story that comes to mind involving the grays?
Now, the first moment that comes to mind, and my first experience that my mother told me, I was around 1 year old, and my door of my room and also the windows were closed, and the nanny, according to my mother, came in, and I was completely disappeared out of the room while the doors and the windows were closed. And suddenly, around midday, the neighbors were yelling, as my mother told me later, because they saw me materialize back on the rooftop, what was about 15 to 20 feet high. And I was materializing back on the rooftop in a sitting position, as if I was playing with another playmate, as they said. And so that was quite shocking, what the neighbors told my mother, because my mother was out for work that day. But it was only the first experience. I had also, as a child, experienced that I saw a ball, an orb, or what we call now orb, or a ball of light, appearing out of nowhere, and out of there opened up kind of a portal, and I saw a face of a gray stepping out. And I was taken through the portal into a ship, or what I think was a ship. But I had hundreds of experiences like this. Another one that I remember very well, that was when I came to Europe as a student, and it was in the early 80s, and I was as a student in a country called Holland. And at one night, I woke up. I was not living far from the beach, 5 miles or something. And I felt the urge to go on the bike and to go to a certain spot in the dunes with the woods around, and I crawl over the fence, and I saw a light between the trees. And I remember it was around the time, around 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I only remember walking to the light, and I remember after that, I walk back to the bike. I drive back to the place that I was living, and by then it was about 5 o'clock. So something about 3.5 hours or 3 hours went by with no memory of it, but I remember, if I'm correct, the day I remember was on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, that this experience happened, must have been around November, in the early part of the 1980s, and it was another memory that came through, and it turned out that I dealt with, at least one of the groups I dealt with, is the same group that Raymond Fowler wrote about in his book series called The Betty Andreessen Affair.
Wow.
And they were the, one of the more benign ones. So far I know they tried to repair the damage that was done by other groups of aliens that I also dealt with.
You know, it's just really interesting. I remember when I was in college, someone was telling me they had some family in Mexico. And of course, anyone that does their research knows that Mexico has a significant amount of what we would call UFO activity. It's
yes.
just pretty widespread there for some reason. And so they had some family out there, and they were telling me that this little girl cousin of theirs, or second, I don't know what, but the family was pretty used to this poor little child being fairly strange. She would just disappear and reappear, and I was like, you know, they were telling me this, and I'm like, this is just, I mean, are you sure she's not just like crawling out behind the house and coming back in? Like, and how do you just not be concerned that your child just disappears and reappears? Like, to me, in my mind, I just hit a total mental block wall. It's like, what you're telling me doesn't make any sense. But now I'm listening to you, and you're like, yeah, you know, as a little child, I disappeared and rematerialized. Like, whoa. That sounds familiar. I think that whatever these things do, that is one of the trademarks, especially maybe, I don't know, with these little children. So, okay, let's move down the list. You mentioned reptilians. Can you give us one experience or encounter that comes to mind dealing with these guys?
No, I dealt with various types of reptilians throughout my life. One of the main ones were, unfortunately, the Draco reptilians, of course. They also were related again with the other subject of the other interview with the Montauk. And they were one of the controllers behind the Montauk project. But during certain abductions with certain groups, because I dealt with various groups what looked like greys, it doesn't mean that they are one and the same, because you can see slightly the differences between them. Some, as I said, that I dealt with were more, felt more benign in their actions. I noticed with this particular one that I talked about before, is they seemed to notice when certain procedures were painful, and they had a type of a device, like a wand type of device, and they went over the place what was hurting when they did the procedure, and the pain disappeared. Well, I had also experiences with other type of grays, and they couldn't give a damn if I was screaming out of pain at all. So even among those various groups, there's a degree of, I'm not sure you can call it empathy or things like that, but some seem more benign than others, out of my experience, what I've noticed But I've also just seen Grace with the other extreme, who doesn't seem to care, and they are, what I say, they are just like, seem like robotic. They just do what they have to do, with no emotions whatsoever. They are, I have noticed they are all telepathic, because they only work through mind to thought projection, is what I have noticed. And one of the Greys that I dealt with, I got the feeling they were the ones that are known as the Orion Greys. And I was brought by them on board of what looked like a big mothership. I saw loads of other people on board as well, between various ages. People that were around my own age, around there as a child, up till even grown-ups. And also it had reptilians on board, in some cases, or even in other cases, I saw like the insect type of creatures, as we call the praying mantis type. And then Wow. We were shown all kinds of images for what they said will happen in the future. Of course, what they said, they didn't say it's gonna happen on different timelines. So what we have seen, events, because some of the events they had shown us, I have not seen on this earth yet, so it could have been that they were also talking about events that could have happened on a different timeline, if you get my meaning.
Well, and getting into the concept of multiple timelines, I think is a real challenge for a lot of people. Let me just say this, folks, for those of you that are listening. The way God ordered creation seems to be very layered. And if you think about how a piece of paper can have parallel lines drawn on it, what you will see is that you can put a one-dimensional line next to another one-dimensional line, that dimension being length, in a two-dimensional plane. What seems to be the case is that when you have a three-dimensional Earth running through time, once you realize it exists in higher dimensional planes like four and five-dimensional space, it makes room for the understanding that there could be parallel universes and Earths that do have some form of an existence where events of possibility can be placed. And so this becomes part of the conversation with someone like Robert, because we run into things that seem to actually be occurring on other timelines that somehow can create a type of bondage or a type of tie-in to what the person is experiencing here. And it just gets very, very strange and hard to explain, but I will say this, you know, I think Isaiah 45:7 is one of the key scriptures in understanding any of this, where we see that God, he says, I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And, you know, many people think, well, when I read Isaiah 45:7, this must mean that God's a bad God because he creates evil. And what people fail to understand is that God doesn't create evil because he wants it. He creates evil because he creates choice. And so from an eternal perspective, what I've realized is that choice exists as a creation in other dimensional space that can be brought into our timeline through our actions and decisions. When you begin to realize that you can bridge that interdimensional space and tap into some of these things, multiple timelines begins to make a lot more sense. As you realize there are certain things that are part of creation that we didn't really recognize as the way God ordered things. So with that said, you know, I'm just going to come back to you, Robert, because, you know, you also brought up Nordics. I mean, do you have any explanation on, you know, Nordics and what your encounters may have looked like with them?
So far, the Nordics that I have encountered, again, as with the Greys, they seem to be more robotic, not human in the sense as we look like with a full personality. They may look human on the outside, but on the inside, they appear to be more robotic, devoid of any personality or soul. Certainly without a soul, I think, because I only think God created the human race with a soul. But that's my personal opinion on this. Another thing that you talked about, the parallel dimensions or timelines, mm-hmm. Brittany wanted to say something as an illustration how she was shown within the Montauk project about time.
Okay, and before we go there, folks, Brittany is another one of Robert's alters that was created through trauma. And so, just so that everyone's on the same page, Brittany had certain experiences that Robert dissociated from. And when memories are, you know, allowed to merge and healing happens, Robert is able to gain access to what Brittany experienced. So go ahead, Robert.
Yes, she told me to give the example as he was shown, as also our dear friend Elena talked about, what she was shown about time in two ways, she said. One is like what you have with a bowling lane, when you got with those lanes side by side by side. And she said, as she was taught, each bowling lane is a timeline. And they are very close, knit close to each other. As you said, when people experience what they call deja vu, I think that's the term, the reason for that is that then those two timelines crossing each other very closely or bumping into each other, and that is why sometimes people seem to think, hey, wait a minute, I have seen this before. The reason for this, as Brittany would have described, is that they have been or had a peek in the other timeline about that same situation. Another way how she describes about timelines and what she also was shown is what she says is like when you take a freeway, as back in LA, and you've got about those freeways with about 8 or 9 lanes. Each lane, but it's very close next to the other, it's again a different timeline. So yeah, I want to bring this up as an illustration when we talk about parallel timelines, how close, when you look at it from an upward position, how they can look like.
Wow.
But as she said, they could have all different situations, because in one, a certain person can be president. It doesn't mean that in the same timeline or on a different timeline, maybe around the same time as he or slightly back or slightly forward in time, that the same person with that name is in power as well, because the situation on a different timeline could be completely different than ours, depending on the choices that a collective of the people living on that timeline has made.
Wow. Okay. Robert.
If that clears...
we are like... so far out there at this point. I'm like, wow. But this is good. I mean, folks, realistically, we're talking with Robert. The thing is, the things that are being brought up, though they may sound strange and weird, well, okay, this is what the powers that are behind what we see being orchestrated on this planet know and have been working with for many years to manipulate your life. And at the highest levels of spiritual warfare and partnering with the kingdom of God, this is actually where the battle gets taken. And I can say that from a position of personal experience, because these are the kinds of conversations we're having during times of deliverance and spiritual warfare. I am continually confronted with how to get people set free from various realms. Multiple timelines come into the conversation, and the angels of the Lord, as we are working, are dealing with these things. And so when God begins to move and deal with things, all I can do is sit back and say, well, praise God, freedom and liberty is coming in the name of Jesus. But it's forcing us to engage this conversation, folks. And, you know, while you may be listening and say, well, this has no relevance to my life, well, you live in the world that I do, and it is being manipulated by the people that are dealing with these things. You better believe that it affects your life. And so that's all I'm going to say on that for now. Okay, Robert, we have a lot more to talk about because you've been to a lot of places. They've used you in a lot of things. One of those places is a location called Area 52. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Concerning back to the Nephilim hybrid program, people can say this is not part of my reality. Sorry, people, it is everything to do with our reality. Because when you think about it, over the last 30 years, we had a programming going on, social engineering program, in which we have been bombarded on a daily or weekly basis on TV with sci-fi series, with sci-fi movies, that aliens are real. And we had a number of alien shows in which alien visitors came here or they invaded Earth, etc. So they already injecting this for the last 30, 40 years, that aliens are real, and that in the future we have to deal with them. And this acclimation program has been going on since the late 70s, early 80s. So people can say it has nothing to do with my reality. Sorry, but it has everything to do with our reality and with things to come. And on top of this, before I close on this subject, also the Vatican has already made plans. And if aliens don't exist, people, then wonder, ask yourself, why is it that the Vatican has said for the future, when aliens will land, they are willing to baptize them? And so that already shows that the Vatican knows certain things, but they have not told the massive population as yet, but that they know is coming. Otherwise, they wouldn't make statements like this, even in interviews, that they have plans for the future. If aliens want to, they can be baptized in the way that we are being baptized in the church. So the aliens or the alien deception is still coming and going to be played out, and it is better that you as public, as listening public, are waking up to this and that you don't fall into what they are setting us up for. Because the aliens are not here to save us from all the pitfalls we are now dealing with on this earth. No, they are part of a demonic, satanic agenda orchestrated by Satan himself, and they are obeying his orders and playing out his agenda. That's all what I want to tell about this for now, at least on this part. Maybe in the future we can go in more depth about it. Mm-hmm. Concerning Area 51, yeah, that's another thing, or Area 52. Area 51 is a certain area within the desert, as we all know, and they had to come clean that they had alien ships there. But what they don't have told the public is that we have even areas like Area 52 that we talk about now, but also up till even Area 54. In my case, I was brought to the location, initial location of Area 51 as a starting point, but I was brought to another area that was dubbed as Area 52, and on that location they have a machine what is called the Looking Glass. I was brought as part of an entourage with the Rothschild family to visit this place. It was around mid-90s and 2000, somewhere in between, on various occasions. When I was brought there, also other representatives of two other bloodline families can gather their representatives, who also coincidentally are tied in with my own bloodline. What Lauren already discussed about in your first interview, connected with the DuPont family, who at that particular occasion that we're going to talk about were there as well the Collins family. What a coincidence that I was there on various occasions, that those three families came there, and they were there to look into the Looking Glass project, but most of all, they were there so that they would show them things, possible futures, for what is to come for those families. The Looking Glass is a piece of technology what comes from what we already have described as aliens, although I call them Nephilim hybrids. That is my word for what we call aliens. In this case, this technology came from so-called aliens that came from the Orion system. And this all came out of an agreement that the government had after the Roswell crash in 1947. And they were handed over this cube, this technology, and out of this they developed later on what is now known in certain circles as the Looking Glass. And we talk about the technology is based on pylons, and within it they create through argon gas and with computers hooked onto it certain images that are projected out of when certain person focused is hooked on the computer, and they can bring up possible events for that particular person. In this case, they did it for the members of the Rothschild family. In this case, also the Collins family and the DuPont family. By coincidence, I'm related to all of three of them. But they also found out when they went further in time, and they did this on various occasions up till the year 2012, and they find out after 2012, suddenly the pictures and the images went black. There was nothing left. For some reason, they couldn't see further into the future or possible futures, possible timelines, than the year 2012. But of course, it was very annoying for them, because that means they couldn't cherry pick certain things about certain events for the future what could benefit them.
That is phenomenal.
And this was in an area what was called Duped, Area 52. And it is way down further below, deeper than Area 51. It's also a couple of miles way further out in the desert, but it's in the same kind of area. And yeah, this is of course much higher classified than the whole Area 51 thing, especially after Robert Lazar, or also known as Bob Lazar, of course, came out in 1998. But I got the feeling he was used by certain people to bring this information out, because there was a power struggle within a group called Majestic 12. I'm not sure if you have heard about that group.
Tell us about it.
It was a group that was put up after the Roswell crash for future occasions when aliens would crash on Earth, or they would make contact with humans. And the government, it was, I think, not Eisenhower, Harry Truman, who orchestrated and created an executive order in 1947 after the Roswell crash to create this ad hoc group called Majestic 12. It went throughout the decades under various names. The last publicly known name was PI-40, and that was a name that they used up till the 1980s. I'm not sure the current names under whatever they operate. I do know that at one point, Bush Senior, he was one of their leaders called MJ1. But then they had, on a regular basis, rotating basis, other leaders, and the leadership for this group was also related to persons who at one point were also the head of the CIA. So if you can find online the various heads of the CIA over the last, say, 40, 50 years, then you get an idea who is also heading up Majestic 12. Probably you can even find out up till the present day that we talk about now. Although I think they have changed the name again and tried to make it more look more benevolent than they were in the past. But they made certain deals when aliens came and go, and after the, especially after the Roswell crash and a few other UFO crashes they had, they collected the dead bodies, and in a few cases they even found crashed bodies that were still alive, and they took them to various underground bases, and they held a few captives alive and got a lot of to a certain extent information out of them. In 1952, if I'm correct, there was another project that they set it up in order to contact, to send a contact signal to the aliens' home world, and they got a reply back in 53, I think, and out of this came the meeting that the new incoming president, Dwight Eisenhower, at Muroc Air Force Base in California in 1954. And if we people think Obama is the worst president that we had, even he is, by what Eisenhower did, nothing in comparison, because it was unfortunate. President Eisenhower, who literally sold the human race out for experimentation in exchange for knowledge.
Wow. Okay.
And so it goes back to the 50s. And after that, they created Area 51 for the whole alien, part of the alien thing, in order to take out the UFOs and back engineer them. So that was part of the reason for Area 51. And they created other areas, including Area 52, Area 53, and even Area 54. And last year, Hillary Clinton gave a number of speeches, and they made a slip up. And she, instead of calling it Area 51, she mentioned Area 54.
Ooh.
Yes. So that also shows how deep she is in the know.
Well.
So, and no doubt she has been to that Area 54 herself.
Hmm.
And that also seemed to indicate that most likely, I hope not, but that most likely Hillary Clinton will probably our next president, God forbid us, if I'm honest, although on the Republican side there's no much better choice. But nonetheless, yeah, she made the slip up, but was in, what you can find online. If people put in, that are listening on Google, Hillary Clinton and slip up Area 54, they will find the particular article, and then they can read it all for themselves.
Okay, so the whole looking glass thing is just phenomenal. That's a term I've heard and come across before. I've never heard anyone have as in-depth information on it.
Yes, and the technology, when you stand before it,
mm-hmm.
It is within a room that is about 40 meters in length, and the ceiling is up till 10-12 meters high.
Wow.
And the projection is between pylons, and the projection itself is like a plasma screen type of thing, but it's created by argon gas type of, like argon gas. It's like more like a plasma screen, and then you see living images. So far, I have not seen any sounds. But what you see on there is, as I already said, possible futures. Because I don't believe you can project the future itself. Because to me, the future is, at least for me, as the collective consciousness that is in motion every second. If you get my meaning.
Well, yeah, it's really a difficult thing to describe when you don't really have vocabulary in the normal English language for some of this stuff. And the thing that's it's just so striking is that, you know, you say, well, there was a limitation on what they could look at. 2012, that's when everything went black, which means that in 2016, we're actually 4 years now. We're going to the fourth year beyond 2012 where... And I think you would agree, the intensity of what is going on in the heavens, in other words, the second heaven, right above our heads, so to speak, in a dimensional sense, is ramped up on a continual basis.
It is. And it is a literal Star Wars warfare what is going on there.
Folks.
To use the metaphor.
I think that sometimes we preach ourselves into powerlessness when we begin to look at the power and abilities and technologies that some of these people that have been working with the dark powers have access to. What we don't realize is just how much power they don't have when compared with the author of creation and what he is leveraging in this season of world history. And I believe... Robert, that is, believers get on board with Jesus Christ and begin to understand that God can take their spiritual warfare to the levels that we are in our own sessions working with. God is able to flip the tables.
He is.
And I mean, realms get implicated in God's works. Angels and the armies of heaven are loosed on all kinds of agendas. Things actually change.
And also the angels, as a lot of people, including Christians, seem to think, so far I can see, is that their image of an angel is like an angel on a Hallmark card. Well, come on, the reality is far from different. It's time that people start to wake up and... as you said yourself, when you work with survivors like ourselves, and you call in the angels who are working on the inside and the realms that we are connected with, they look anything but a Hallmark card of angel, but apparently a lot of Christians and non-Christians seem to have us image.
Can you take
the angel that we have in the Christmas tree.
Can you take some time to describe some of the angels of the Lord that you've witnessed?
Okay. Now, some, depending on their function, got like 4 to 6 wings, depending on their function. Some that working with healing abilities differ from the ones as the warrior angels. And also their size can differ from... just like, let's say, like a human height, up till some angels that could be 9 up till 20 feet tall or higher. So there's a big variety, and people must not think when we talk about what's happening on the inside that is literally in our body, because our bodies are survivors, is tied in into the other realms, if I'm correct. I think you probably can describe that better in a way how you work with us. And a lot of the programming, happens in, especially in our case, we are quite tied in, with a number of dimensions out there. And I'm not sure how many other cases you have as complicated, probably like us, but... when we talk about programming, people must not think that it's only in the physical sense in the body, And so that means that the angels must be minuscule, because when you talk about internal worlds, as I have seen it, those worlds from the inside, they just look as big or even sometimes bigger than we are presently in the physical world. And I know that is for a lot of people hard to describe, but when you think about us as being programmed and with the altars, the altars on the inside got like normal, we see them with normal bodies, as I see humans on the outside, and we got on the inside in the different planes that they created, we see like buildings, woods, even mountains with streams. Now, yeah, I'm still grateful for the things that you created for us on the inside, like my ski slope and my awesome water and my own surf bay. For that reason, I hardly come out at the moment because I'm enjoying myself too much on the inside.
Oh, let me take a moment to explain what you just said, because that's just...
No, I just explained it how I see it from the inside when I'm on the inside.
Right. And folks, the thing is that while a lot of the very real and actual events that Robert is describing occurred with fragmentation leading to mind control, there is the structuring of what people call the mind, and many of the altars live in what we would call the subconscious. I believe that the subconscious is synonymous with the biblical revelation of the heart, which is why when you talk about the healing of victims, and I call them survivors, because I don't work with victims, I work with survivors who are overcoming through the power of Jesus Christ. They are recipients of essentially what I would call a broken heart and even a broken spirit, wherein the Bible says in Isaiah 61, Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. What people don't understand is that the heart, being the subconscious, interfaces with the spirit realm very effectively. And so whenever you're talking about fragmentation and as Robert described, the structure of internal worlds, you're talking about a merging between the person and spiritual realities that do and can be linked up into what we would call other realms or heavenly places, because the Bible says that we have been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places, so there's heavenly places there. There's also the war that we're in, where we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. So there are many heavenly places, both dark and light. As a matter of fact, the whole spirit realm is comprised of heavenly places. This is all biblical revelation. And so these interplay with what is going on with a person, and it's strategic in order to platform humans for the very purposes and agendas of the dark power. So it only makes sense that they would tie in, I would say, portal in. Portal simply means turn in a person into a doorway or access point for these other realms. Hence what Robert was describing, we're tied into other realms and so forth. But we also have these internal worlds. And so when you look at that, you're actually looking at both subconscious, you're looking at spiritual realities. And this is the conversation. This is where the healing occurs. As Jesus comes in and begins to heal someone like Robert, what he can do is, I can pray, and because he's a creative God, he can go in and put things that aid in the healing of the populations, which are the fragmented parts of Robert, such as, say, a water park full of living water, where everyone that goes into that water suddenly encounters the Bible verse that says, he who drinks of this water will never thirst again. Or as in the book of Jeremiah 2:13, when God says, I am the fountain of living waters. And in the book of John chapter 7, where the Bible says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That spiritual element that brings healing and wholeness to our lives can actually be placed as God's solution for the healing of broken parts of a person. And so when Robert describes like a water park, well, what he's describing is the very healing provision of God. Okay, so I just had to say that because, man, it's just so many things, Robert, that you're bringing up, and I'm glad you are, but people need to understand and not get lost as to what we're talking about. So we were talking about Area 52. We're talking about Looking Glass. We have a few minutes left, and so before we conclude this session of, you know, your story, so to speak, I just want to give you a few minutes, and we'll say 10. Can you talk about some of the European castles and other locations that programming took place?
All right. 10 minutes is very short for that, but
we'll have time to continue in future programs.
Yes, that's okay with me because there's so much to tell about. Now, one of the regular places that I have been are the Queen's castles in Scotland. Among them is Balmoral. What is one of the famous castles of the Queen of England? And I was there brought for rituals. Another place that I was brought to on a frequent in a frequent way was another one that was on the German France, no, on the Belgium France border, called a small village, if I believe, Munobel, if I'm correct, and it had what it was called, the Castle of Darkness there. It has a French name, I'm not sure how to pronounce that one. But this castle, in certain time of the year, during certain rituals, the high-level members of the Illuminati came there, and they have done, among other things, like child sacrifices. The first time I was brought to that place and to that castle, I was about 7. In my connected with the castle of Balmoral, the first time I was brought by my first programmer, Dr. Green, a.k.a. Joseph Mengele, I was brought to Balmoral the first time by the age of 5. And that was the first time that I had to witness a literal ritual in which an infant, were literally, you could say, ritualistic murdered for the future coming of their master, Satan, and people were chanting. And during the ritual itself, during the stepping of the child, the infant, and the infant was probably less than 1 or 2 years old, I saw then people shapeshift from a human form into reptilian form. But I have to say, before this happened, each of the members of the Illuminati who were there, at a given time, there were 20 to 30 people gathering in a circle, and each one had a rope on. Each had different colors depending on how high they were in ranking and things like that. And what I noticed is that they had no clothing on under the ropes. The reason for this is when the ones who are reptilian shapeshift during the moment that the child is literally killed and the knife is, the dagger is sticking into the body and the blood comes out, for those people with reptilian genes in them, especially the ones, the shapeshifters who got a 50% ratio of mammalian and reptilian genes, they cannot hold longer back, and they will, during those type of rituals, they will literally shapeshift within matters of 5 to 15 seconds at the most. It's like a white cloud of energy comes swirling around them when they shapeshift, what only takes a very short period of time. And then they transform from a human, let's say, if they normally about 6 foot, they suddenly transform into a reptilian that could be 8 up to 9 foot. One of the people I have seen frequently shapeshift is the British Queen Mum, the mother of Elizabeth. And she was then an old lady. She was then in her 60s, I would guess, or maybe late 50s from my very young childhood, but she is herself not that big. She is probably 5 foot something. And when she started to shapeshift, I saw her up till her death when she was in the 90s. She is quite, frail and small. But when she shapeshifts into a reptilian who is way over 7 foot tall and very evil looking, and she's also very bloodthirsty as well. If it comes to then her daughter, or the one that we know as her daughter Elizabeth, and then her son Prince Charles, when they shapeshift, what I have noticed is that apparently in their true form, in their reptilian form, for some reason, the hierarchy between mother and son seemed to fall away. What to me seemed to indicate that in their true reptilian form, Queen Elizabeth and her son Charles seem to be each other's equal, because they fighting each other over the scraps of meat and the organs when those rituals take place.
Wow.
And people, we have always perceived the reality with the queen as the head of the family, and done Charles as being her son, etc., with also the rest of the family. But during the rituals, as I have witnessed myself, is that during the rituals they fighting each other to the death almost about who get what part of the heart or the liver or whatever part they are after. And the Queen Mum, on the other hand, a lot of people were taking a few steps back with her, but also shown that she was much higher in ranking than the others. And she also shown that in certain ways, how she treated people as reptilian, in a reptilian form and also in a human form, by the way. In that way, between a human form and a reptilian form, there's no much difference. She is just in a normal way, as a so-called old lady, just as arrogant and cruel to people as she is in a reptilian form. But Balmoral Castle was one of the places I was brought frequently, and also various other places. One of them is outside of Munich, and also in the Black Forest in Germany. There were a few castles. The one in Belgium I already talked about. Also, beside the Windsors, there were also a lot of other royal families that I have seen frequently appearing on those rituals, including the Dutch royal family as well. And within the royalty, people seem to think that the Windsors are the top dog. If it comes to it from behind the scene, it seems to indicate to me that the Dutch royal family got even a higher clout in affairs than the Windsors.
Wow.
And even up till today, mm-hmm. even that queen or former queen Beatrice from the Netherlands has stepped down officially as queen, and it is now her son Alexander or whatever his name is, who is now the queen, or who's now the king. Beatrice herself is up till today, or at least so far I know up till last year, she is still part of the inner core of the Bilderberg group, and she got still a very big say in what is going on within that group. It was also her father, Prince Bernhard, who was one of the founders of the Bilderberg Group, together with Philip, Prince Philip from England. But, yeah, so the way it looks, even within the Illuminati picking order, if you like, yeah, it seems that the Dutch royal house got even bigger clout in certain ways than the Windsors. That is at least out of what I have experienced in my childhood.
Robert, incredible. Folks,
you're welcome.
Robert's going to be back sooner than later. Get ready for Montauk Exposed Part 2. In the meantime, Robert, I just want to say I appreciate you. I am just marveling at your bravery and knowing what no one knows about the struggles and the challenges that you are daily overcoming through this season of your life where you are actively defecting, casting everything down that was imparted to you through the bloodline, through the programming and purposing to break free. It's just incredible to watch your journey, and I just applaud your bravery.
You're welcome. And yes, I hope the people that will following this and for future events to come, especially I want to say to survivors, if you have already not sought the help in from Christian counselors like Daniel, I would advise you, if you really want to be set free, don't bother at all with secular counselors or psychiatrists, because they are lucky if they're even able in 10 years of counseling to merge maybe one personality, although I think they do more harm than good, to be honest. But if you really want to be set free, to me, the only way how to do it is Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing what I have to say. And in the front-running organization in this, to me, not only because they're helping me, but what I see what they do for all the others out there, is Bright Ministry. And if you're online, contact Bright Ministry or survivors. If you think you have been yourself being programmed and you went through satanic ritual abuse, contact them, tell them your story so far you know. And no doubt, I feel in time they will help you, and they also will set yourself free for all the others out there. And the reason that I give those interviews is not only to educate others, but I also hope to be a lightning torch to other survivors to give them the hope and courage that there is a way out, there is a way to be set free in the name of our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to earth to set us free by shedding his blood on the cross for all our sins, past, present, and even future, so long you embrace him as your personal Savior. And when you do this, you will have eternal life for eternity to come. Not in the other place, but in heaven. And you will be rewarded for that. And that's the only thing that I have to say for now. And I certainly hope to be back, not only in the next one in 2 weeks, but also I hope to come back in further shows in the future as well. As I said before, there is so much still to tell, even on one subject we could fill up a whole program, so let alone when we only touch on a few subjects as we did now. And it was a delight to be back on your show.
All right. Folks, this is why we are attempting to build a DID coaching school, so that we can train people to be the hands and feet of Jesus to help those coming out of situations like Robert's, and maybe situations that are not so intense and severe, but my oh my, is there a need? And we're trying to build it. And so you can visit us at bridemovement.com. Robert has a blog himself. So folks, that's beyond-the-illusionary-veil.blogspot.com. Folks, we're out of time for now. You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is the premier radio program designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program has been a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. At our website, you can contact us, access resources, and support us with donations. We need partners in order to continue to produce our vision, which is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Partner with us and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Clozmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Pick up your phone and shake it to get $50 off any cocktail maker. Yes, you heard me. Shake your phone and get $50 off. Don't delay.